read our text, 2 Peter chapter number 3, beginning in verse 1. 2 Peter chapter 3, beginning in verse 1. Here Peter is writing to believers to encourage them and to remind them not to be discouraged by the scoffers, that Christ is returning. He will return, though we may not know the hour he is coming again. Let's look at 2 Peter chapter 3, and we'll begin reading in verse number 1. The second epistle, beloved, I now write unto you, in both which I stir up your pure minds by way of remembrance, that ye may be mindful of the words which are spoken before by the holy prophets and of the commandment of us, the apostles of the Lord and Savior. Knowing this first, that there shall come in the last days scoffers walking after their own lust and saying, where is the promise of his coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of the creation. For this they willingly are ignorant of, that by the word of God the heavens were of old, and the earth standing out of the water and in the water, whereby the world that then was being overflowed with water perished. But the heavens and the earth, which are now by the same word, are kept in store, reserved unto the fire against the day of judgment and perdition of ungodly men. But, beloved, be not ignorant of this one thing, that one day is with the Lord as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years as one day. The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in the which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. The earth also and the works that are in shall be burned up. What's wrong with our world today is the world is looking for something to satisfy their soul, and they're not looking to Jesus. They're looking for many other things. Topic this morning, the message is, don't let the scoffers get you down. We live in a world today where there's a lot of naysayers, a lot of scoffing going on, and I know the introduction will be a little hard, but it's not at you. It's just painting a picture of what we really already know, but remembering what the world is like today, but yet we don't have to focus on that. As Peter wrote here, reminding the Christians, don't be concerned. Remember, in spite of the scoffers, that the Lord will and is returning. You see, Christianity in America faces scoffers as never before. I faced them as a young soldier in the military. I faced them as a young man in high school. I faced them even as a young man in Bible college, not those that I went to school with, but the world around me and living in the community. And our world is waxing worse and worse, with no doubt. Scoffers are persons who endeavor to turn all biblical truth into ridicule. They show little to no desire to seek or even to find truth. Today, parents are paying large sums of money for college tuition for scoffers to ridicule their faith of their children. Scoffers of the biblical family. Marriage is no longer viewed as one man and one woman. Even though secular sociologists have produced studies showing children need a mother and a father in the home to be at the best peak performance. The devil has been working overtime and biology has been thrown out of science. And now men want to be women, and women want to be men. Just total chaos. And for some, they think this is the next step. This is an evolvement of where we should be, where we should have been, where we need to be. But that's exactly contrary to the Word of God. The first mention of marriage is in the book of Genesis, chapter 2, and verse number 24. A man shall leave his father and his mother, and shall cleave unto his wife. Not his significant other, but his wife. And they shall be one flesh. Scoffers of the biblical family. And we have scoffers of the biblical account of creation. The teachers' union, as well as our present government, or the majority, would be in favor of any view that would discredit creation and elevate evolution. No scientific proof required. And I know that's taken place some years ago. There's a big battle, even in the state of California, about evolution and about as well as creation. And they're happy to prove and to teach creation as long as it's able to be discredited or disapproved, but no defense of going against evolution, then they would allow it in the schools. Scoffers of the biblical family, scoffers of the biblical account of creation. And then we have scoffers of God, our flag, and the Constitution. God and prayer have been thrown out of the school, have been for some years. The Constitution is trampled, criticized, and ignored, and even our flag is not honored or displayed in the proper place of honor on some occasions. There is an obvious bias against God, creation, the Word of God, and our nation's history and flag. Dear friends, it seems that bitterness will always need a target. The Bible tells us in the book of Jude, in verse 18 and verse 19, how that they told you there would be mockers in the last time who should walk after their own godly lusts. These be they who separate themselves, sensual, having not the Spirit. Here in our text, Peter writes to stir up the reader's mind by way of remembrance. God wants us to stir up our minds to help us to remember. That phrase or that aspect to stir up means to awaken or to arouse from sleep. And dear friends, as a majority of Christians in our world today, in America, we have fallen asleep. We need to wake up. We need to remember. We need to be aroused in the sense that even a scoffing society will not deter or alter the plan of our Savior. God will return on His timetable, His way, and His plan. And therefore, as believers, we should stand boldly in and for the Lord and not let the scoffers discourage us from living for Him. I'd like to share with you this morning three things on how to do that. First of all, remember the promise, or remember His words of promise. Remember His words of promise. The Bible tells us in 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse 19 through 21, we have also a more sure word of prophecy. Whereunto you do dwell, that ye take heed as unto a light, this shineth in a dark place until the day of dawn, and the day star arise in your hearts, knowing this first, that no prophecy of Scripture is of any private interpretation. For the prophecy came not in old time by the will of man, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Spirit. Remember His words of promise. Dear friends, we have the Word of God to remind us, to help us, to encourage us, again, to arouse us to remembrance. In the book of Luke, chapter 1, and verse 70 and verse 71, the Bible says, as He spake by the mouth of His holy prophets, not only His prophets' words, and we'll get to His apostles' words in just a moment, but He spake by the mouth of His holy prophets, which have been since the world began, that we should be saved from our enemies and from the hand of all that hate us. Dear friends, as we remember His words of promise, we see that His prophets' words here in 2 Peter as well as Luke, we are known, we are foreknown, we can be encouraged. He is coming again. Just as well as I know, and I don't remember the song, and I don't want to butcher up the song, but folks, just if I had been to the manger myself, I know that He was born, that He's coming again. Just if I was there at the cross and there at the tomb when they placed Him and took Him out, I'm just as confident that He did die, He did rise again, and that He is coming as were coming again. And I know that I can be assured, and I can remember His words of promise, His prophet's words, but also His apostles' words. In 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 16 and 17, the Bible says, all Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable, dear friends, for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. Dear friends, I don't know about you. I like it when it corrects me. I like it when it reminds me or warns me of where I'm heading and where I need to be, where I used to be maybe, where I should be today, or where my goal, where I need to be down the road. It's good for reproof, for correction, and instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. Dear friends, if we're struggling, we need to remind ourselves that all Scripture is there for our benefit to help us. It's a shame that many today who call themselves believers are more sure, more aware of popular mechanics than they are of the Word of God. They're more sure of other things that they read and partake of than they are of the Word of God. We need to read it. We need to reread it. We need to absorb it. We need to be encouraged by it. Even our Lord Jesus, as he speaks to his disciples on the road to Emmaus, again, we see his words in Luke chapter 22 and beginning of verse number 44. And here our Lord is speaking, and he said unto them, "These are the words which I speak unto you, while I was yet with you, that all things must be fulfilled, which were written in the law of Moses, and in the prophets, and in the Psalms concerning me." Then opened he their understanding, that they might understand the scriptures. And he said unto them, "Thus it is written, and thus it behooved Christ to suffer, and to rise from the dead the third day." Dear friends, there is no doubt of his return. Remember his promises. Don't be discouraged. I know it's out there. I know it gets our blood pressure up a little bit. I know we get a little frustrated. I know we stand around the water cooler, around the table with a cup of coffee, talking about the world's problems, what we would do if we had the opportunity, and how the world is just a mess. I know that. But remember his promises. It's not going to continue that way. And by the way, one day when it does continue that way and we're not here any longer, it's not our problem. That day will come, but for now, it is there, it is a reality, it is frustrating. We can pray, we can go, and we can do our part. But when you get discouraged, remember his words. Remember the words of his promise. And then number two, remember his power. Remember his power. Dear friends, he's still on the throne. Bible tells us in verse 5 through 7, "For this willingly are ignorant of that by word of God the heavens were of old, and the earth standing out of the water and in the water, whereby the world that then was being overflowed with water perished." Dear friends, in verse 7, "But the heavens and the earth, which are now by the same word, are kept in store, reserved unto the fire against the day of judgment and perdition of the ungodly man." Dear friends, not only remember his promise, but remember his power. Dear friends, our God is all powerful. His power of creation, as we see there in verse 5, his words created the world. He just spoke it into existence. The Bible tells us in Genesis 1:1, "In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth." And a little further there in chapter 1 and verse 9, the Bible says, "And God said, let the waters underneath the heaven be gathered together, one in place, and let the dry land appear." And it was. He spoke again and said, "Let there be light." And there was light. Dear friends, we can be encouraged by remembering his promises, but also his power. He is in full control. Psalm 33 and verse 9 and verse number 10, the Bible tells us, "For he spake, and it was done. He commanded, and it stood fast. The Lord bringeth the counsel of the heathen to naught, and maketh the devices of the people of none effect." Dear friends, the world is willfully ignorant, and that does not change God's power. It does not change his ability of what will and what has taken place, his power in creation, in verse 5. But also notice in verse 6, his power in destruction. See, his words destroyed the world as well as creating the world. God has demonstrated in the past that he is a God of holiness. The Bible tells us in the book of 2 Peter, chapter 2, and verse number 5, "And spared not the old world, but saved Noah, the eighth person, a preacher of righteousness, bringing in the flood upon the world of the ungodly." In the Genesis chapter 6, and verses 5 through 8, the Bible says, "And God saw the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. And it repented the Lord that he had made man upon the earth, and it grieved him at his heart. And the Lord said, I will destroy man whom I have created from the face of the earth, both man and beast, and the creeping thing, and the fowls of the air, for it repenteth me that I have made them." And then verse number 8, "But Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. Dear friends, if it weren't for so many Christians today that have found grace in the eyes of the Lord, where would the world be today? I know it is waxing worse and worse, and it's probably not going to get a whole lot better, but I sure hope to see a little revival in between now and the worst of the world and the return of the Lord Jesus. Yes, we need to remember His promises, remember His power of creation, His power of destruction, but we also need to remember His power of judgment. Yes, His words created the world. His words destroyed the world. But His words reserve the world for destruction by fire. He is holding back that destruction. We see it here as we read earlier in verse number 7. The day of the Lord that was promised by the prophets and the apostles, as well as by the Lord Jesus Himself, will come just as surely as the flood came in the day of Noah. And the fire and brimstone came to destroy Sodom and Gomorrah. Dear friends, rest assured, God is not winking at sin. But His patience, His reserve, is holding back that which our world may deserve because of His love for His people. He is reserving His wrath. But dear friends, He will come again. The Bible tells in the book of Hebrews, chapter 9, and verse number 27, as appointed unto man once to die, and after this, the judgment. Dear friends, remember His promises. Remember His power. But thirdly, remember His patience. Oh, how I'm so grateful of His patience. We see here in our passage of our text, and please remember, God is never late. In verse 8, he says, but beloved, be not ignorant of this one thing, that one day is with the Lord as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is one day. The Lord is not slack concerning His promise, and as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Dear friends, the scoffers are there, and they will continue. But remember, our God is never late. The scoffers will say, as we read in verse number 4, where is the promise of His coming? Dear friends, it may seem that all that is going unchecked, but it is not. God knows exactly what's going on. He has a purpose, He has a plan, and He has His timing. And it does not change our responsibility to do what we can and to live for the Lord that others may see the difference in our life. The scoffers again will, but notice with me in reference to His patience to return, as we see there in verse number 8. It's according to His timetable. See, the doctrine of Peter is defending as the return of Christ to earth to set up His kingdom, and then after 1,000 years to usher in the new heavens and the new earth. The Bible tells us in Psalm 90 and verse 4, for 1,000 years in thy sight, are but a yesterday when it is past, and as a watch in the night. And then Hebrews back again, right after verse number 27, Hebrews 9:28. So Christ was once offered to bear the sins of many, and unto them that look for Him shall He appear the second time without sin unto salvation. Dear friends, for every prophecy in the Word of God concerning Christ's first advent, there are 8 that look forward to His second coming. He is coming again. And as Peter writes to encourage them, don't let the scoffers discourage you. Don't let the naysayers get you down. He is coming again. And we need to be reminded and continue serving and living for the Lord because it is His timetable and His plan. According to His timetable and according to His plan. And in verse number 10, but the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in which the heavens and earth shall pass with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. The earth also and the works that are therein shall be burned up. Dear friends, He will come as a thief in the night to those naysayers and scoffers who are not looking for His return. But let us know that He is coming again. And for us, it's no concern about the thief in the night because, see, we're ready for Him to come day or night. It does not matter when He returns because we are ready. But the world, again, the scoffers, the period of the tribulation, the millennial reign, and the great white throne judgment, dear friends. The Bible tells us in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 2, for yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord so cometh as a thief in the night. Dear friends, scoffers will scoff, but they will be silenced when the Lord returns. Dear friends, I don't know about you. There are many days, and I think I've mentioned this before, that I'm ready for the Lord to come. I see my grandchildren. I say, Lord Jesus, come ever so quickly. And then I run into other people and I make friends or acquaintances and get to know them a little bit. And I find out that they're not saved. I'm like, Lord, maybe just one more day. Maybe I can tell them again about Jesus. Maybe I can tell them one more time and point them to the Lord. But I know no matter when he comes, I know this. I am ready. I am ready. But at the same time, I'm saying, Lord, would you give me one more opportunity to see my Uncle Dan trust Christ? Will you give me one more opportunity to see my Aunt Rose give, take, and come to know the Lord one more time? Whatever the case may be, no matter what the situation, dear friends, he is coming again. And though we be ready, and though we anticipate his return, let's not let the naysayers, not let the scoffers discourage us, because they are out there. They are critical. I'd like to share a story with you this morning, and I don't know it to be true, but I sure do like it. I've run across those who naysay the Lord that are scoffers. I've run across the atheists and the agnostics, but let me read this to you. An atheist professor was teaching a college class. We know that to be true. They're everywhere. He told the class that he was going to prove that there is no God. He said, God, if you are real, then I want you to knock me off this platform. I'll give you 15 minutes, God. Then 10 minutes went by. He kept taunting God, saying, here I am, God. I am waiting. He got down to the last couple of minutes, and a soldier, just released from active duty, newly registered to the class, walked up upon the platform and knocked his professor right off the platform, sent him flying behind him. The professor struggled, got up, obviously shaken, and yelled, what's the matter with you? Why did you do that? And the soldier replied, God was busy, so he sent me. Dear friends, I don't know about you, but I feel that way sometimes. I do. It's not my place to knock them off their platform, but it is my place to love them where they're at and share the word of God with them. Again, I feel that way, but God will take care of the scoffers. He will take care of the scoffers. Yes, according to his timetable, his patience to return, but let her be his patience in salvation. His patience in salvation. The Bible tells it again in verse 9, the Lord is not slack concerning his promises. Dear friends, God's delay is actually an indication that he has a plan for this world and he is working his plan. There should be no question in anybody's mind whether or not God wants sinners to be saved. The Bible says that God is not willing that any should perish. The Bible tells us in John 3:16, that verse many of us, not all of us, learned as a child, that for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. He did it out of love for us. Yes, remember his promises. Remember his power, but also remember the patience of our God, his patience in salvation. Dear friends, he is not willing that any should perish. God desires all to come to repentance. See, repentance is a change of mind that results in action of the will. See, the sinner honestly changes his mind about sin, changes his mind about God, and he will turn from it. It's not a matter of, again, as I mentioned a few weeks ago, if not last week, it's not just a matter of believing there is a God, because the Bible says the devil believes and trembles. It's making a decision and believing honestly about God, my sinful condition, and turning to God. And we know that Satan and his angels, even though they know the outcome, will never change their mind. They will continue to do all they can and have scoffers to discourage us, but we are to march on. The Bible tells us in the book of Acts chapter 20 and verse 21, testifying both to the Jews and also to the Greeks, repentance toward God and faith toward our Lord Jesus Christ. Dear friends, we can trust his plan. We need to be encouraged. We need to be reminded. We need to remember not only his patience, but his promises and his power. He is coming again. And no matter all the white noise going on around us, all the scoffing and discouragement, all the things that take place, all the things going on with our world is turned upside down, one day it will turn right side up. One day it will be what it should be, and we will be in glory with him. But until then, let's cling to his promises. We'll be reminded of his power. And be grateful for his patience, not only with us, but those who still need to come to know Christ. Dear friends, in the book of Deuteronomy, chapter 6 and verse number 12, Moses warned the children of Israel as they would enter the promised land. He tells them, beware lest thou forget the Lord. Beware lest thou forget the Lord. Let's be cautious. Let's be on guard. Let's be aware and realize that he is there. He is returning again. And do not let the scoffers distract you. Be reminded when you're discouraged. Remember his promises. Remember and rehearse in your mind the power of God, what he has done, what he has created, what he has destroyed, and that one day he will come back. And then embrace his patience, not only with us, but the world that still needs to know and receive a loving God. Let's stand together with heads bowed and eyes closed. Our pianos will be playing in just a moment. If God has spoken to your hearts, maybe you're here this morning, you've been somewhat discouraged. Let me encourage you. Just remember his promises. Remember his power and partake and embrace his patience that he has, not only with us, but also with the world. If you're here today and you've never trusted Christ, why wait any longer? Why roll the dice, so to say, of God's patience until he returns today? Why not come and trust Christ today as your personal Savior? Christian, if you're here today and you're discouraged, let me remind you once again, embrace and remember his promises. Remember the good things that he spoke of and what he's done for us. Remind yourself of his power, that he is still in complete control. And remember his patience and embrace it. If God has spoken to your heart today in some form or some fashion, why not come today at an old-fashioned altar and pray? Thank God for the message. Come for salvation. Whatever the case may be, you do as the Spirit of God leads you. Father, bless this time of invitation. You know the needs that are represented by each and every individual here this morning. I, Father, that you'd have your will and way, that you'd have free reign, that we would yield ourselves to thy sweet Holy Spirit and respond, whether it be for salvation or whether it be to pray and say, Lord, help me. Lord, encourage me. Lord, thank you for the message, and help me to remember your promises, your power, and your patience, that I might live a life more victoriously for you. Bless, we ask in Jesus' name. Heads are still bowed and eyes are still closed and our panelists is playing. Some are here at the altar praying. Others may need to come. But if God has spoken to your heart, why not move right now? All right, if all hearts and minds are clear, you can look this way. We'll have a word of prayer and be dismissed. Again, let's continue to pray for one another, lift one another up, And let's not forget, I know times it can be discouraging, times it can be frustrating, but we can always remember to smile and say, I know his promises. I know his power, and one day he will change things, but I'm also grateful for his patience, not only with me, but also those that still need to come to know the Lord. And let's do our best to make sure we share that and tell others about Christ. All right, Michelle and I are going to make our way to the back and greet you folks as you come out. Again, as always, remember the Lord loves you, and I love you. If I can be help to you in any way, please do not hesitate to ask that I might be a help and a blessing and a source of encouragement to you. Let's look to the Lord in prayer, and we'll ask God's blessings as we dismiss. Brother Myers, will you dismiss us in prayer?